When we get our new recording system, I'm going to really miss sitting down for the homily. I will say that I struggled this week to figure out which of the themes I was going to preach on, the one from Peter or the one from Paul. And so you'll be delighted to know that what I decided to do is decided to, instead of giving one longer homily, I'm going to give two smaller homilettes. You're all wishing right now I'd only give one homilette, but that's okay. The first one we take from Peter, our patron, okay, our namesake. And in today's story, we have that confession of Peter, where Jesus is just checking with his disciples to say, what are they saying about me? But then more importantly, what he wants to know is what they think about him. Who is he to them? And Peter makes his confession of faith. He just kind of blurts it out to Jesus and to anyone else around. Well, we kind of believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looks at him and says, you know, that wasn't revealed to you by some human being. That was revealed to you by God. And so then he kind of, you know, really affirms Peter. And in a way that I think we often misinterpret, he looks at Peter and says, first of all, he says, well, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. So his nickname was Peter, the Rock. The longer I spend time with Peter, and Peter and I have been companioning down this road now in a particular way for, in our 15th year, all right, I'm absolutely convinced that part of the reason why Peter had that name, that nickname, was because of his head. Okay? That Peter was indeed bullheaded, he was impulsive, he was all of those things, and the Lord loves him for all of it anyway. And so when Peter makes his confession of faith, Jesus looks at him and says, you are rock, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will never stand against that. And then he gets into this interesting part, and we take this, I think, a lot for granted around here. We get keys everywhere. There's keys over the front door. There are keys on the furniture. Peter has his keys in his hand up there, okay? Keys everywhere. And that's where they come from, this passage. It says, Jesus says to Peter, I'm going to give you all the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you hold bound on earth will hold bound in heaven. But whatever you loose on earth, we're going to loose in heaven. Now I'm going to ask you, when you look at Peter's whole life, and if Jesus indeed knew what Peter might do, Peter was a phenomenal follower. But Peter was also a man with feet of clay. Peter didn't always do it right. Peter did many, many things right. Many things to make Jesus happy, but he also betrayed him. He walked away from him at times. And in that whole concept of things, we've got to remember that Jesus could have, especially at the end of his life, just said to Peter, well, you messed that up, so that's okay, I'm going to give the job to somebody else. Or you messed that up, so that's it, I'm sorry, there's no place for you in my kingdom. But does Jesus ever rescind the invitation to lead the church to this imperfect man? And obviously the answer is no. Obviously the answer is no. Jesus just forgives Peter. And that grace that you know that Peter experienced, you know that I can't imagine Peter would have suddenly not shown the same grace to everyone else that he encountered. Knowing that on some day we're just not able to give our best. Knowing that on some days we make the wrong choices. Knowing that on some days we fail, and we fail the Lord. But in that context, Peter probably learned how to be like Jesus, who probably said, I didn't much care for that, but you matter more than your mistakes. I still choose you. You are still mine. I don't think Peter went through his life thinking, oh goody, now I get to be the boss of everybody. I think that Peter went through his life saying, as the Lord has treated me, so I need to treat everyone else. Let's hope that we all have that grace from Peter. Now the good news is it's the end of the first homilet. The challenging news is there's one more homilet to go, okay? And this one from Paul in the second reading, and this one also from Sister Diane, because Sister Diane this year has been focusing on our column and everything, on focusing on the second reading. And Diane was telling the story the other day, and I really loved the story because I think it's absolutely perfect for this time. And in this regard, Paul is writing now to the church in Rome. But he's in prison, and he's not yet in Rome. He's in prison, and while in prison, he's writing this letter to the Church of Rome saying, I'm coming your way, and I'm going to be very happy to do whatever I can do for you while I'm there, while I'm in prison. And so this is the end of the introduction to the letter. And notice the joy that Paul has. Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom of knowledge of God. And then he says, who can ever understand God? God's inscrutable. Who knows God's ways? Who can even give God counsel? Because God's God and we're not. That's the poetry he's spouting from his prison cell on his way to his death. Now I ask you, have we been able to be that joyful from our prison cells during this time of plague? No, mostly what I hear is all of us kind of whining about God and wishing God and telling God how to fix everything. But Paul, just trying to be faithful from his prison cell, says, to God be glory forever and ever. Sister Diane became very aware of this 2 weeks ago, almost 2 weeks ago now, when she had a cataract removed. And she was in Tulsa, and she was with her sister. And after the cataract was removed, she went back to her sister's house to recoup for a couple days before she came back to Joplin. And her sister just basically helped her in the house and then took her to an upstairs bedroom and said, Diane, you're staying up here. You're not coming downstairs. Here's the remote to the TV. I'll bring you a tray when it's dinner time. Because her sister's husband has health concerns. And they weren't sure how that was going to work. And so Diane was quarantined in her sister's house. And Diane shared, she said, I sat there and I began to stew. And I just got madder and madder. And I thought, well, I didn't check into some hotel. I could have got an Airbnb and got it treated like this. And she said, I just kept there and started stewing. But she was watching Hallmark movies on TV. There's no accounting for taste, okay? But Sister Diane was watching Hallmark movies, as she is wont to do on TV. And so she's doing her thing. She said, I just sat there and I was getting madder and madder and madder. And she said, finally, God gave me the grace to laugh at myself. Because she said, I've realized once again in this lesson I have to learn over and over and over again in my life that I'm not the center of the universe, that I'm not God. And she said, and then I think I heard God laugh when I remembered that. When I remembered that God was God and I was not. And that I was not the center of the universe. Grace sometimes is no fun. Sometimes it's actually awful. And that's where the word comes from, awful. But that's a lesson we can learn from Paul today. Oh, the depth of the richness, the wisdom of God. To him be glory forever and ever. Some days we're best when we don't try to figure it all out. Some days we're at our best when we just sit back and receive God's grace. And so those are our lessons today from Peter and Paul. Let's ask our God to let them take root in us.